last week, didn't want to take Sherry's time to talk a lot about Belize, so I just wanted to share a little bit more about what happened while Marie and I were there. Let me do this thing on this little girl called that. Some of you guys, I think, I think it was Facebook. Where did you see this with Derek and Lauren? One of the couples that they're working with in Kenya. The little girl, she's like 2 years old. She's got the malaria, and it's the encephalitis type, so it's a really bad, bad one. And they're trying to treat it in the country, and the little girl's just not doing really well at all. And so that's what that prayer was about. For those of you that got that, continue to pray. For those of you that didn't know, now you know. So pray for this little girl because the medical care in a place like Kenya is not what you'd hope it'd be, but you don't have an option when it's, this malaria that attacks the brain, causes the brain to swell, especially in a young child like this. So that's what that was all about. So now back to Belize. So as you guys know, Belize for Marie and I is, it's a place that's very special to us. It has been for most, for a long time before we came to Mesquite. And over the years, we've done a lot as a church with, being involved in the board and the school and, of course, and all of the other types of things that we're doing down there. But it was a bit, I don't know what the word is, kind of unstable, I guess, maybe, for the past few years. But last year, there were some really interesting things that took place with the ministry there. And for just lack of a better way to put it, we just really felt a sort of a revival for not just Marie and I, and for Travel Liz, of course, and everybody else that's involved there, but for the church as a whole. There was some really cool things that the Lord did. I won't bore you with all of those details, but what last year did was it set up this year. And so we went back this year with great expectation. As you guys know, we're very excited about going down. It was the first time that Marie and I were able to see the fish farm. For those of you that don't know, we last year were involved with a group out of Seattle. Jeez, Trav, am I right? Is it Seattle? Where those guys are from, Jason and Brenda?
Portland.
Oh, see there? That's why Trav is here. Anyway, their church came down, and we went and we did all expense. They've done these things all over the world, and then Uganda and Myanmar, Burma, and all these other places. So what we did, we put a fish farm in there at the school where we're raising tilapia. It's basically a tilapia farm is what it amounts to. And there's four big, huge tanks, and you start them off with the little fingerlings in one, and the next tank is a little bigger and bigger, and then the one tank is the full size. Well, it was going well, but there were some issues. The fish weren't getting enough oxygen, and so they weren't growing like we had anticipated that they would. So Jason and Brenda actually were there with us, and they brought down a special pump that actually puts oxygen into the water so it aerates the water. And the fish literally responded immediately. If you walked up to the tank, there were all these little signs sticking out of the water saying, thank you, we could breathe. No, there weren't really signs. I was just kidding. Anyway, they literally responded immediately. And so we're really excited about that. Well, one of the other things, as you guys know, the fish droppings and all of this stuff, right? When it filters out of these tanks, these troughs were built where we had vegetables and stuff floating on the water on these big styrofoam deals. And then the water from those tanks would feed these plants as the roots grew down, would feed the plants. And at the same time, the plants would filter the water to go back into the tanks. Well, the way it was set up last year was with some rocks where the water went in, and it actually went into these rocks and kind of worked its way through this. And actually, probably Trav's better one to talk about this than I am. Anyway, whatever. The point is we changed that because the plants weren't getting the nutrients. There's bad microorganisms and good microorganisms, right? So bad microorganisms, bad ones. We chased all those little guys out of there. And we redid it. We did the whole thing. So they've changed this whole thing. If you saw the pictures on Facebook, or you can look around and check it out on the website, they put them in these tanks. Anyway, it was a pretty amazing thing to see, to be a part of. And the expectation is now that the plants will grow, obviously, much bigger, much better, which will help our school, all the kids in our school, but also in our community. And for the protein that comes from the fish, again, for the school as well as the community. So it was really cool to actually see that thing after having just looked at pictures. It's pretty stunning, and it's really exciting. In fact, I think I mentioned to you guys before that I have contacted Roy in Maforga, where Sherry's headed, Roy Perkins, about actually doing one of these farms there. And we talked to Jason and Brenda when we were in Belize, and they're still kind of interested in that. So we got to figure out a way to coordinate this because they're going to actually be in Zimbabwe, which is right next to Mozambique. So the idea is to get them to come from Zimbabwe into Mozambique and take a look at this and see if we can actually do this for the orphanage at Maforga, where Sherry and Stephanie are. So we'll see what happens as the Lord moves that forward. But so that was a really cool thing for us to be a part of in Belize, to see that. But the other thing was to just, you know, to be at the meetings and to hear the testimony of what's going on in the school. And I know that last year, most of you know that Emerson, we moved Emerson to a position, which was the position that I held when we lived there, of that of mission director. And Emerson had sort of been functioning in that capacity, but also doing the principal aspect of the school. Well, we wanted to get him out of the school and more onto just the mission as a whole because of the fish farm and these other things. So what we did is then we took one of the students that actually grew up in our school, Eddie, for those of you that don't know, and he went all the way through our school, graduated from our school, became a teacher in our school, and he's now the principal of the school, Eddie and his wife Marita and their little girl Ziani. And so it was really, you know, it's really cool to be a part of this and to have known Eddie really most of his life from the time he was just, you know, a little short dude. Now he's the principal of our school. It's a really cool deal. But what was interesting, I hadn't realized, we had Eddie share at the board meeting. And when he shared it, he's Kekchi, so in other words, he's Maya. He's one of the Maya Indian folks, and he typically they're really reserved, and they don't like to speak very much at all. But Eddie, the Lord has done an incredible work in his life, and he's amazingly articulate. And so he shared with us, and as he was talking about it, he was talking about all of the years that we've been involved in this, and he made a statement that really stuck out to me and that I hadn't thought about, that he had never known another school except for Toledo Christian Academy. His whole life had been in that one school, where most people in Belize had, you know, had gone to different types of schools, but his entire life all the way through. And so it was really quite the blessing, and it was like, you know, at times you look at things like this and you... So you evaluate it and you go, well, you know, I know we're doing a good thing with the school, but really, you know, how good? I mean, what really are the benefits? And the minute that young man said that, he's a little short dude. He's like this tall, right? And so the minute that young man said that, it was, to me, it was like, I just had this overwhelming feeling. It's like, this is why we do this. This is why we take the time, because it's more than the academics that we provide at the school. And I think most of you know that our school is ranked one of the top in the entire country of Belize. Our little tiny school of Toledo Christian Academy, way down in the quote-unquote forgotten district, it's one of the top schools. And our sports program with our volleyball and softball and all that stuff, we're always in the top. In fact, we won the national championship last year. Our little tiny school. And so when you hear something like that, you just realize that, wow, you know, all of those years, all of that time, all of that, even the conflict that we've had, and there's definitely been conflict there. It's, you know why? Because human beings are involved, right? That's the way it is. But we worked through it. And so here we are, and we're looking at this young man, and I was just stunned by that. And I'm thinking, this is exactly why we're doing what we're doing. And so I was very excited about that. It was really cool. I wasn't able, that was the second day, because I wasn't able to make the first day. I was spending more time in a certain room than in the boardroom. So I couldn't make the meeting. But anyway, but that second day, it was just a total blessing. We were able to spend some time with Gids and Maylin, first night at their house for dinner. Oh, baby. For those of you that have been to Gids and Maylin's, you know what I'm talking about. She makes these del rote. Oh, yeah, mama. It's just killer. Anyway, because she's East Indian, so she makes this Indian food, and it's like, wow, it's out of this world. But this church is doing really well. I was able to share at the church. Typically, when I go, they always want me to share. I don't want to share. I want to listen to Gideon teach. I have to teach all the time. I want to be taught sometimes. So I try to sit there, but I always have to get up and share a little bit. So I shared some with the folks. It was really encouraging to see what was going on and to listen to Gids and them speak. And what happened was also during that period of time, again, I think most of you know or remember, when we lived there, besides for the school, Marie and I were over another ministry that was called Machaca Outreach Center. Literally, they're a mile apart. Machaca's way back, a mile straight back into the bush, rainforest. back into the bush. And so back there, and we had, this is where we did the summer camps. We did our medical outreach from there, which still comes every year in March. Dos Amigos, the medical team out of Slidell, Louisiana. And we had the leadership training and stuff that I did, pastoral training. Did I say the youth camps already? Well, anyway. But we also had a trade school program to teach these guys the vocation, because electricity is slowly but surely working its way in and further out. And it's stunning how much it's changed since when we lived there. There's actually pavement on the roads, which is an amazing thing. What's truly amazing is to go out into these bushes with these Maya Indian people where there's no water, there's no electricity, there's no nothing out there. And you walk out there to these thatched roofed homes with dirt floors and, you know, the typical what you just picture a Maya village looking like. And the kids come out with a cell phone. It's like, what? It's just like flipped out, man. It's just bizarre. The dude's texting the guy. Who are you texting there? Oh, I'm texting the guy over in Santa Teresa. I'm like, this is insane. But anyway, that's the way it is down there now. So slowly, technology is working its way out there. And so it's really interesting to see the direction this is going. But our goal was to have a program to train these guys because of electricity and construction aspects and stuff. So we had this, what we called Southern Toledo Technical Institute, STTI. And we'd bring these young guys in from you know, 15, 16 years old all the way up to however old they wanted to be, and or, you know, girls too. And they'd come in, and we had some guys come down from Canada that that taught different aspects of construction. Sometimes it was just an electrical part of the course. A part of it was an electrical practical aspect of it. Just basic wiring. Now we're not talking about, you know, three-phase stuff here at this point. But anyway, but basic wiring. And then there was a second part to that, which was the theory by Cliff and these guys from Canada that would come down and teach this. And then we had another aspect to that at different years where we would do, say, doing foundation slabs, you know, doing footings, you know, learning how to do rebar, the whole thing, pillars, blah, blah, blah. You know, then there was framing, there was construction, the whole thing that goes on. And we would teach those little by little. And so Gid's boys, Ian and Gian, who when we first moved down there were, again, like this short. Now, I'm looking up at these guys. It's like, what's happened here? It's just amazing. I keep telling them they got to stop this because it's making me feel old. They're not listening. But but what happened was last year we got them connected with this STTI program, and they went and they took. Last year was the practical, right? I think it was the practical. They took the practical side of the electrical program. They both absolutely fell in love with it. So this year, the guys were back with STTI, and they added the theory side, and so they went back to take this. Now, why am I telling you all this? Because something has happened with this STTI program. They had left our district for a while, but now they're back because of some issues. And I had offered them last year, as a school board member, that I would promote them to our school board, or to Gid's and his church, Gideon, and the church there, that I would promote them either way, and they could do this program either at the school at TCA or at Gideon's church. And they decided to decline last year. Well, this year we ran into them again, and we talked to them again, and they're like, you know what, we're probably going to take you up on your offer. So what we ended up doing was, after thinking about it and kind of stuff, it felt like the fit was better for the school, for the church, than for the school. So we had set up another meeting with another Maylin dinner. I'm always thinking. This time we had Cahoon cabbage. Cahoon cabbage is the heart of the palm, and they chop it up, and they put curry in it, and they mix in chicken and uncle. Oh, man, I'm serious. It's awesome. So we had Cahoon cabbage and talked about all this. So I don't know. It's, you know, it's not up to me. It's between Gids and Cliff and Don with STTI what they're going to do. But the idea is to get the STTI program in there. So there's a lot of these things that are going on, all right? And as you know, then, of course, we left down the Toledo district. We went out to the island. If you saw some of the pictures there, I know you guys were going, oh, wow, suffering for Jesus, huh? Because when you go out to San Pedro, Ambergris Key, it's like being in Hawaii. I kid you not. It is absolutely beautiful. The water, you're on a key. It's an island. And the water on the Caribbean side, so on the east side, it's like a swimming pool. It's like 85 degrees. It's crystal clear. It is breathtaking. And San Pedro's the little town there, and everybody drives around in golf carts. It's really cool, and you got all the resorts and all of this stuff. But we have a friend that was out there that we knew from way back who had gone to San Pedro and was doing a ministry out there. And among other things, he had taken over the leadership in a radio station. I shared this a little bit with you guys last week because I was interviewed on that radio and was on last week. I think you could still get to it on the website. I'm not sure. But anyway, so we wanted to go and just check out the ministry. This is Clive Welsh, a really good friend of ours. And so we went out there to see him. We spent a couple days actually just kind of kicking around. And then we went to Clive's and stayed there with them. And it was really interesting because the whole time we lived in Belize, like I said, you have to understand, we lived in the bush, okay? And in those days, like I said, it was much different than it is now. There were no cell phones. There were, you know, electricity had only gone so far. Pavement had only gone so far. So things were much different when we lived there than they are now. But there was a reason I was saying that. Oh, yeah, yeah. So this, thank you, Marie. She's always got my back, that Marie. So anyway, what happened was, this is where we knew about San Pedro, right? Well, it's the tourist place. This is where the money is. This is where anybody that comes. And so the people that lived on San Pedro, it was our assumption that there's got to be a ton of ministry going on there. And there, you know, the ministry that would go on there would never have any problems because, of course, everyone in the States that, you know, this is where you want to minister, San Pedro. I mean, if you're going to bring a team, do you want to bring them to TCA in the midst of the rainforest, or do you want to put them on the beach at San Pedro? Pretty easy decision, right? But that's what we thought. So we went there just thinking we were going to hook up with Clive and just see how he's doing, see how his ministry's going. Well, what we've discovered was there's nobody doing ministry on San Pedro. Apparently everybody was thinking the same thing we were thinking. And so there's this desperate need on this island to go and to minister. He spends most of his time ministering to some of the AIDS kids that live there and ministering in the school and stuff. And of course he's got the radio station, but there really isn't anybody else. There's a couple of small local churches, but there's not really anything going on. And so he is just literally, by his own words, desperate for help. So we were stunned. This completely caught us off guard. I was not expecting to hear that. So I don't know what the answer is, but trust me, we're going to probably do something on San Pedro. And I'll bet you the next time we talk about taking a trip to Belize, there'll be more hands that go up, right? Because this is the place you want to go, I'm telling you. But that remains to be seen what is going on. But I was able to minister to some of the boys that he's working with, and train them. And these kids are just, what's the word there? They were hungry for somebody to just love on them, to connect with them. Clive ministers to them, but Clive is more in a brothers type of a thing. And he's a leader, don't misunderstand. But there was this thing, and it just broke your heart. And we talked to actually a couple of them, and they were just talking about the need. And that Clive had just led a couple of these kids to the Lord. They'd only been believers for about a year. They were talking 15, 16-year-old kids here now. And they said, Mr. Rick, they said, you don't know. It's so hard for us. I make so many, you know, dumb decisions. And I said, well, tell me about it. And they said, well, we live on this place where everybody that comes here is coming, and the girls are running around in bikinis. Told you, you'd want to sign up. The girls are all running around looking like this. The only thing that's there are all of these nightclubs and all of the drinking and all of the stuff literally right on the water and the big parties going on. This is what surrounds us. We don't have anything else. And we're trying to not let it, you know, and you're just going, oh my gosh, that never even crossed my mind. They're on a little tiny island. You don't get away from this, right? They don't have the money to get on a boat, go someplace else. So certainly don't have the money to fly out of there. So they're stuck. So it was just a heartbreaking thing. So, you know, we're really praying about this. And now you guys can pray about it to see what God may have in store for us. He did get a young lady that came from North Carolina, got there about 4 days before us. And she's doing ministry to some of the young ladies on the island as a part, sort of an extension of what Clive is doing. We were able to meet with a young lady whose name was Dahlia. Again, some of you probably seen her on, you know, on the web stuff. And literally out of the blue, Clive goes, dude, I just got this call from this girl that I ministered 2 months ago. He says, I haven't seen her in months. And she was having all kinds of situations. He said, he said, she literally just wrote to me and asked me if there was any way, there was anybody here that she could talk to, any woman. And it just so happened it was the time when we were there. So he said, yeah. And so he's telling me all this. And I said, yeah. So he goes, well, she's going to come over. And I said, really? Well, when? And Clive does everything at night. It's, you know, it's nightlife there. And so he said, well, she's going to come over. She gets off, she'll off work. So she'll be over about 10. And I'm thinking, yeah, Marie's always like asleep at 10. So I don't know. So I'm thinking, yeah, you know what? Go ahead. She'll understand. So I'm going up the stairs to tell Marie, please, Lord, let her understand. Please, Lord, let her understand. No, just kidding. So we get up there, and sure enough, this is what ends up happening. So this young lady, but she, through a couple of things, she wasn't able to make it that night, so we did meet with her the next day. Spent a couple hours talking with her. She has a four-year-old boy whose name is Elijah. How cool is that? He's a Down syndrome boy. And she was crying, and she was telling us that one of the things, some of the local Christian guys, when they take him to the beach and stuff and let him play, boy, this really upset me. She said she was out there, and some of the guys from the local churches, the local guys, now they're not missionaries, was, you know, carrying his Bible around and sharing everybody, and came to her with that little boy and said that she needed to do something. What'd she say, get rid of him? Because he was possessed. He was demon-possessed, and that's why he was like that. And the poor girl, and I'm thinking, I'd like to take that Bible out of a guy's hand, huh? Yeah, smack him upside the head with it. If you don't know how to use it, you probably shouldn't carry the thing around. It's dangerous in the hands of someone that doesn't understand it. But anyway, this is what's going on. So we were able to minister to this young lady. Now we're in touch with her and stuff. And so it's going to be interesting to see what God has for us in the future. So you guys know me. The wheels are in motion. My brain is just... She just won't stop. It just don't. I got notes all over the place of stuff I've got written down. I won't bore you with any more of the details. I was going to go on a little bit more, but I think you've probably heard enough. But understand that one of the things that I'm thinking about with the school, I said I wasn't going to do this, didn't I? One of the things I'm thinking about the school, even when we lived there, I always felt like there needs to be other avenues for the school. Because Belize is a country that you only have to go to school by the government till you're 14 years of age. That's it. You don't have to go anymore. So yeah, I know all the kids are going, man, I wish it was that way here. But anyway, so what we ended up doing was, by the time kids are, you know, they're 12, 13 years old in our school, you could clearly identify those that were interested in pursuing an academic, you know, an education. And you clearly saw those that had no interest whatsoever. They just were not going to go any further. So our school could get them to that point, and it's important that we do that. But the bottom line is we're not going to help them anymore. And the young ladies as well. And they just sort of just drift off. Now, Eddie was one of the rare ones. He went all the way through, and, well, you see where he's at today. But I always thought, I always wanted, and I really feel like this was a vision that God gave me very early on when we were there, when we went down in 99, that we need to provide at a certain age level, different tracts, for lack of a better term, avail options for these kids. Clearly there are those, and this is what, because we're a school, this is what we want to pursue. We want to push these kids through with academics and get them to high school, get them to university, so they become the next Belizean teachers, Belizean lawyers, Belizean doctors, whatever. I mean, it's logical. That's what we want to do. That's what our school exists for. But what about those other kids? I mean, and there's a lot of them. Right? And so I thought, well, what if we had a track where there were this guy, we know he's not going to pursue academics. It's just not going to happen. He's like me. If I'd had that option, I would not have went on. Right? I never went to college. Never went to Bible college. Never went to any college. Can't even spell college. So that would have been for me. That's the road I would have taken, and I would have gotten out of school a lot earlier if my dad wouldn't have killed me. But that's what I would have done. So what if we made an option for that? Well, an option for these guys is to set them down at that time when they have to make these decisions, and to sit down with them and their family. And, you know, it's a Christian school, so they know and pray with the family and with the student and say, look, we have another option or some other options that we'd like to offer you. We have... for so-and-so, we think that he or she would do really well, you know, if we tracked them, you know, towards a trade school, a vocation, and taught them a lot, you know, skills. So we would like to offer that, and obviously you point them to, and you know, to point them to something like STTI, a full program where the government recognizes our program. The Belizean government thinks our program is one of the greatest things in the country. So why not direct some of these kids towards that? Give them these skills, because they're not going to do anything with academics. There are other kids in there that are not, they're interested in academics, but in another line. They're more interested in spiritual things. There's one kid that pops into my Denmark. It was from long ago, was very interested in things that were spiritual. Well, what if we had another track available besides the academic and a vocational thing? What if we had a ministerial track that was available as well? And for those kids that are spiritually sensitive, we have a deal set up where there's now a school of ministry type of setup, to where we can train the next pastors of the country. We can train the next youth workers, the next missionaries, the next worship teams in Belize. See, and we have people that can do all of that. They're sitting right here. So this is what is on my heart. We're working towards this, but whatever happened 2 years into our time there, we got hit with that hurricane, and it literally changed everything. It changed the complete trajectory of the ministry that we were doing, because it just, well, now we have to build people homes. We don't have time to teach them stuff, because they got to survive. So it just kind of took the winds out of the sails, but the Lord has never let me rest with that. And that's what I felt like this last trip when we were down there, and is how we're going to do this. So what I'm doing is I'm putting together this kind of an idea. Basically, you've pretty much heard it. What I'm thinking of for the STTI things, there's several individuals who I won't point out, Ron, Bernie, several of you other guys, that if we set up a deal, you know, during the break of the first semester of school, you know, we could have guys go down there and spend a week and teach them and start leaning them towards this kind of thing, and then have somebody else, so we can do like a little small engine repair. We could do basic construction. Do you see what I'm talking about? So you're getting them kind of prepared for that whole big STTI thing. And then the next semester, we've sent somebody down that can do the small engines, that can do the electrical, the whatever. And now all of a sudden, we've got that track. But we do the same thing. Well, I could go down. Any of the leadership here at the church could go down to start this aspect of this ministry type of thing going. Can you see this? And you know what works on this? It ties in those kids out there on San Pedro. I mentioned some of this to them just in passing, just to see what they thought. How cool would it be to have those young boys and the girls, but the boys were the ones that I met with, the young boys out there on that island, and hook them up with young boys at Toledo Christian Academy, because they're all doing the dang thing anyways, right? Why not put them in touch with those guys, and put those guys in touch with our guys, right? And all of a sudden you've got this major league connection going on, and we can take these guys from San Pedro and we can put them in any of these tracks, and we can do ministry in Toledo Christian Academy, and then the following year we can take the kids from Toledo Christian Academy and go and do ministry out of San Pedro. You see what I'm saying? Something's got to happen. Something's got to happen. There's much that can be done. I don't know that these are the answers. This is just what's on my heart. So pray with me about it. Because there's going to come a time I really believe this is significant. At the fish farm, we could even bring people in, train them on these dang fish farms now. Think of that. I mean, this is just, it goes on and on. We can involve Gid's church. We can involve Joe's church. All of the churches are involved with the leadership training, using the different churches and the facility. I mean, it's like, it just is stunning to me. We can literally do what Paul and those guys did and flip the country of Belize upside down. And give a people that have no hope for a future. And I mean, there's nothing. If we don't do something like this, then it will continue the way that it is now. And our students that won't go any further, the boys in particular, they'll leave school. They'll get their machete, which they call a machete. They'll get their machete and they'll walk all over the community and come to us as missionaries, which they always did. And they'll knock on your door very early in the morning and they'll say, "Mr. Rick, can I chop your yard?" And what they do, I kid you not, is they'll take that machete and they file it and get it sharp, and then they bend over and they swing that machete and they'll mow your entire grass with that machete. And we had acres of grass at Machaca and up at the school. And so we'd help them whenever we could. That's the future of these kids. Because what's happening in the past to this point will continue to happen unless we get in there. Well, I think God has called us to bring hope. Don't you? So that's where I think this is all headed. We'll see what God does with it. I want to talk to the board about this. Obviously, I'm not just going to implement stuff without communicating with people. And we've got a whole nother year before we've got to work out all the details. But I want you guys to pray about this. Because if you haven't gone yet, you need to go. Don't be a weenie. Yeah, there's snakes, there's scorpions, there's all the other stuff. Deal with it. You'll be all right. We'll get you a machete. You'll learn how to whack the head off of the snake as it goes. No, I'm just kidding. There are those things there, but it won't bother you. Okay? You'll wake up and see that 6-inch cockroach on your pillow and you'll just go, what? Anyway, so you need to pray about it. Because This is what God has wired me as the coach. It's like, you know what? I can set up the team and get all the defensive backs and the linebackers and the linemen and blah, blah, blah. But I can't suit up and play the game. That's not what I'm called to do. I'm called to get these guys lined up, to train them, to teach them, and then put them in the game and say, now go out there and knock yourselves around till you can't see straight. That's what I want to do. And we got a whole group of people here that are qualified to do all of this. The ladies, there's a first aid track we can do. Anybody here know basic first aid? We can go down and teach basic first aid stuff. I mean, you see what I'm saying? It goes on and on and on. Computers, media, go out to the island, teach these guys. Go out there and teach them how to run this radio station and stuff like that. They won't let me in near buttons. Even at church here, they don't let me touch any of the buttons. Don't touch the buttons, Rick. I don't know why that is, but that's what they do. So you need to pray about it. So as you can see, as always, very excited about Belize. If you're not sure, take a look at the pictures over there. That's our school. Is the big house still up there? Yeah, that big house there on the far one on the right, that's the house that Marie and I stay in the bottom. That's our little area there. That's where we stay. The top looks like a barn. Okay? It's really cool. You'll love it. But the top is the teams and the bottom is the little place where Marie and I, when we lived there, that's where we stayed. So really pray about this. Pray about Maforga. We're going to need to continue to stay engaged at Maforga with now Sherry and Stephanie over there and go and see what Roy and Trish, how we can help them with a tilapia farm, helping the school, helping the orphanage. There's just a ton of stuff that we can do. Amen? So continue to pray about it. Now, I just want you to look at one. Whoops, I'm not clicking here, guys. There we go. See? Yeah, now this button I'm supposed to push, just so you know. They told me to push this. There we go. I just wanted to read these verses. Actually, I'm such a dork. I was going to read these verses first and then do all of this stuff. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to read these verses and I'm going to tell you everything I just told you. No, I'm just kidding. Going back to Acts chapter 14 in our study in the book of Acts. Look, we understand what's going on. What Paul, this is the first missionary journey, what Paul and Barnabas and Mark are doing here is they're doing exactly what we just got through talking about. Now, they were just planting churches. The churches hadn't been established yet, but it's the same idea. They had taken the gospel and they had gone all around that area again today in the area that we know as Turkey. That's where they were at, Asia Minor for them. And they would go around there and they would go into these little villages and stuff and they would plant all of these churches, right? They'd share the gospel. There'd be a small group of people that would start meeting together. It was always in a home. That's how it initially started. Sometimes it was out by rivers, as we know. And then what they did, once they shared the gospel, they would go to the next village, and this is what they would do. And as they worked their way out, when they got to the end, then they would reverse the course and come back around and go backwards and stop and look at and check in, for lack of a better word, on all of those fellowships. And they would appoint leaders because the leaders would have arisen. We talked about all this last week. So this is what's happening. But the interesting thing, and we looked at that last week, how they went and encouraged the churches, that was also in Acts chapter 14. We're actually going to start in chapter 17 next week, but for today. So now, the first missionary journey has come to a conclusion. They've gone out, ministered in the churches, come back and started all the elders and prayed for them, commended them to the Lord, and have made their journey back now to the church that sent them. For us, it's Calvary Chapel Mesquite, for Sherry and for Stephanie and for Trav and Liz and for all those others that are out there ministering on, with us behind them, Luke and Kristen. We could go on and on. You get the idea. When that happened, then what they would do is they, like I said, they would come back, appoint these elders, and then they would come back to the church, and they would make a report. And that's what you're reading here. about a year, roughly a little over a year, has elapsed between going out and making their way back. Now, they didn't fly like Sherry's doing today, because he couldn't fly in those days, right? So they did it all. They were beating feet. That's what they were doing. So they'd go out, and they were on their way back. And so here's where it is now. From there, they had sailed to Antioch, and that's where they started. Antioch in Syria. Okay? That's where it was. From there, they went sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work which they had completed. Did you catch that? A, they had been called by God. They had been commended by the church, and they had completed the task. They had done what God had asked them to do, to not stay at the church. Not that there's anything wrong, because obviously not everybody went, just those few went. But the point is, they were called to go. Others were called to send. Some were called to support. That's the idea. So what's happened? They made this journey. They're now back, and they're back at the church where it all started, where they had been commended by the grace of God, and now the work has been complete. They had concluded the task that had been set before them. They had done exactly as God had instructed them to do and preached the gospel in all those places. And now, because of that, the gospel of Jesus Christ is now permeating the country that we now call Turkey. And I said this before and I'll say it again. They're still there. Don't buy this garbage that you see on TV. That there are no Christians, quote unquote, in those areas. There are very strong churches. And trust me, if you're going to survive as a church for the Lord Jesus Christ in a place like Turkey, you better be up with the faith. Because there you don't get a second chance. It's illegal to do what we're doing here today. It will cost you your life if you get busted. And yet the churches are thriving. Their church always thrives under persecution. That's why stop complaining about the persecution on the church. We like persecution. Persecution drives us to our knees. And our battle is won or lost on our knees, because the church advances on its knees. Right? So the persecuted church is always a praying church. And therefore, it's a purified and powerful church. So never be afraid of the persecution, ever. No matter what the enemy or Islam or anything else does to come against the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, they can do whatever they want. Jesus said, I will build my church, of course, through the gospel. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Lucifer himself cannot stop us. So stop whining. Keep moving. Keep marching. So they went out. They went back. They've been commended. They completed the work. Now when they had come and gathered the church together, the church, ecclesia, iglesia for the Spanish, they had gathered the church together. That's what it means. The gathering, the assembled, as I've said 1,000 times. The church is not this stinking, is not this building. Okay, this is a building. It's not the church. We are the church and all of the other fellowships that are around us. It's not the buildings. We are what the church is. So when they had gathered and came and come together, they had come to and gathered the church together. They reported all that God had done with them. So now I'm going to report all that God had done with us. No, I'm just kidding. I already did that because I messed up. I told you. So they reported all that God had done with them. I love this. God had done with them. Isn't that awesome? You would think it would say through them, by them, in them. No, it says with them. You see, the calling of God is just that, folks. It's a call. It's a call, which means you don't have to heed it. But if you go, then the Lord will go with you. Last night when we ate with Sherry and Donna and Kelly were with us, but we ate, we were talking about much of this stuff just prior to taking her to the airport. So it was roughly 7 o'clock last night. We were talking about this very thing. And we were talking about how, and I know you guys have heard me say this before, and because Marie and I have shared this multiple times, it is so neat to watch God do things and get to know this particular aspect of him. But when he calls, and he always calls, I don't have a calling for what? Yes, you do. Yes, you do, because you're a believer. That means you're called. You got to just figure out what the call is, and God will make it very, very clear. Does it mean you got to go to Africa? No, but I hope so. It just doesn't. It doesn't necessarily mean that. But when God calls, you see, he's calling you out. What's the whole point of call is to take you somewhere that you've never been, correct? That's the whole point of the call, to call you out. That's the concept. So when God calls you and he removes you from that which is normal, and he calls you to this other thing that typically is going to boggle the mind, to this day I cannot understand why God called Marie and I to Belize, to those wonderful people that are so much a part of our lives now. I still don't understand why God called us to Mesquite. I can't even believe that he called me to teach. Me, a drooler to slobber that can't stop saying stinking and get the look from my wife every time I do. Right? I mean, I still don't understand that, but God calls. So we were talking about this, and when God calls you and he's calling you out of the norm and you respond to that call, do you know what happens? You get to see a side of God that if you don't respond to the call, you don't have to. He's not forcing us to do anything. He's Lord, but he will never lord it over us, ever. He will ask. And we're either going to respond or we're not. And so, but for those that do, when you respond, it doesn't have to be the mission field. It can be anything, but we're using the mission field because of Sherry. Well, we were talking about this. So what, Sherry, you need to be alert to is because you've responded to the call of God, which is why you're going to be on this airplane. I almost said stinking again. Why are you going to be on this airplane for 15 hours? Is because of God's call. But what's immediate, what's amazing about all of this is to be alert to always keep your eyes open to see that side of God that you would not have otherwise seen. You see, when God calls, he'll reveal a side of himself that you haven't seen before. Right? It's like the father who's really tough on his kids, tough on his boys. He's just that, the iron hand kind of thing and rule and stuff like that. And yet when they're hurt, there's a complete different side. You see what I'm saying? And there's a complete different, you get to see this other side. We experienced that. We didn't have to go to Belize. You all know the story. We didn't want to go. Well, Marie didn't want to go. Okay. I was excited about it. And she's the one that told God, which I would never do, I'm not going. Probably not a good idea to say that twice. She said that twice. But because we did, you see, we have what we have now. Because God's promise to Marie was, if you will go, I will make you a mother of many, rather than just a mother to your children that you're afraid to leave behind. But do you know what happened? We've both become parents to hundreds of people. Little tiny Eddie. All of the other Belizeans. We have Zelda. Those that don't know, our Belizean daughter. And our grandson Josiah. And our son-in-law John. We have kids in Maylin. We have all these wonderful people. And it is nauseating to think about what would have happened had we not gone when God called. When you go, you get to see a side of God. He'll reveal a side of himself to you that you don't otherwise get to see. It's not that he's keeping it a secret. It's just that there are so many aspects to God. And the more you go and you respond to these things, the more of himself he reveals. It's just the way that it is. It's amazing. That's what this is talking about. They reported all that God had done with them. You see, when God calls you, you get not only to see that side of him, but he's promised to make the journey with you. He's promised to walk right alongside you and to carry you if he must. And he will. Right? He just will. And that's what's going on here. So they reported all that God had done with them. And that he had opened, notice now it's the he, so it's capital H, so we're talking about God here. So not only had God with them, but notice what happened. And that he, not Paul, not Barnabas, not Mark, none of those three, but it was God that had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. Because they heeded the call, God went with them, and it was God that opened their eyes so that now those people were getting to experience a side of God that they had known. They didn't even know existed. They thought there were multiple gods. They thought the trees were a god and the rocks were a god and so on and so forth. You get the idea. They had sacrificed to those gods. But when the real God shows up, you see, and you realize this love that Terry was talking about earlier is a reality. It's amazing. So God, he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. In verse 28, so they stayed there, that is, of course, at Antioch, a long time with the disciples. And no doubt, we talked about this as we moved into the second missionary journey, that they were teaching and encouraging and so on and so forth before they left on the second missionary journey, where when I get back to it next week, in Acts chapter 17, that's where we'll pick up. So that's why we do this. We don't come and tell you the stories, the, you know, the experiences, because it's this wonderful adventure, though it is. But that's not the reason. We don't do it because we're necessarily just excited about the places or the people even, or any of the other stuff. We share it with you because God's word tells us to. Because maybe not everybody in here is going to heed this call. But maybe there's some of you out there that are thinking, man, this is, the Lord has been itching my heart for a long time. And those words, you see, you think it's me talking to people. It ain't me. I don't have nothing to say that's worth hearing. It's the Lord. And maybe you're just going, wow, you know what? This is really challenging me to really make a journey like this and to see if God has a place for that. There may be only one of you out there, but that's worth it. That's why I do what I do. So we come and we report these things because it's what the scripture lays out for us. For those that are willing to say, you know what? There's nothing in this life, nothing that is more important to me than people. And people that have an uncertain future, and in particular, an uncertain eternity. And that is what dictates what I will do, where I will go. And the last thing, let me close with this. Jim Elliot, some of you know Jim Elliot, I'm not sure. The Edge of the Spear, remember the movie? Him with, Nate Saint and the other guys. Anyway, whatever. They were the ones that went into, was it Peru?
Ecuador,
thank you. They went down and ministered to those people, to those Indians down there, and they ended up killing them and possibly even ate them. Okay? Yeah, see, like Sherry said, if they're going to come after anybody, and I think they're coming after me, because I could feed their family for months. They're not going after skinny little people like Drew. I mean, that guy, we one meal and we're done. That guy up front, now, that's the guy we want. But they knew there was this danger, and there's this famous saying, and this is what I want to close with today because I want you to think about this. This is what Jim Elliot said. Died at 20, whatever he was, when he died. He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. That's Jim Elliot. Missions. For those that heed the call, God has promised to go. You gain everything regardless of the outcome on this side of eternity. Amen? All right, let's stand. We'll close in a word of prayer. Don't forget, for...